are so lucky to be joined by Andrew Denman, who is a vet at Orange Vet Hospital. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, Jess, and good morning to your listeners.
Well, we want to talk pets in winter. Having just acquired a pet recently, I think we're up to about 5 weeks together, when I leave in the morning, which is quite early, I feel a little bit guilty having to put dog, poor old Nettie, the rescue dog, out the back. I mean, he's fine. He doesn't seem to mind. But what are some great tips for dealing with your pets in winter? Because I guess it's just like summer where we have to sort of be more cautious about leaving out water, etc. There's going to be stuff we need to know.
Yeah, you're right. Like we're probably more concerned about the dogs, and we see more health problems with dogs and cats in the summer months just because they're more active and there's more things that can go wrong. But we still do see issues with general dog health through the winter months. And the main one that we see at the vet clinic that is year in, year out is arthritis, with the dogs being a lot colder.
Is that is that with age, or can that happen with any dogs depending on their medical situation?
Oh, most of it is age-related, same as in humans. It's got to do with your date of birth as you get a bit older and stiffer. But the other thing that we see regularly that has a large component of why those dogs present to the vet clinic is their weight. So a lot of it is to do with overweight dogs or obese dogs, which, same as in the human world, we're seeing a lot more of that in the dog world. So,
but it's okay to body shame dogs. That's for their own good.
Yeah.
They're just, what if they're big, beautiful dogs, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's right. We've got to be careful how we say that. But age is certainly the big factor. Time will catch up on everyone, just as it does in humans. And so trying to prevent excessive weight gain and over-exercise in their young years will help. But age is the big thing. So most dogs do get some level of osteoarthritis pain as they get older.
Can I circle back there? Over-exercise when they're younger. Can you go into that a little bit more?
We do see some certain breeds of dogs that have repetitive exercise, and chasing the ball is a good example, or running up and down along the fence line if they live in town. So we do see, for instance, a lot of cattle dogs just love to retrieve. They'll just chase that ball all day.
Yeah.
And when they're young and nimble, and the cattle dogs are actually quite a large breed dog. They've got a big big bone structure. They're not as adept as Kelpies, and we see a lot of those dogs because they love doing that behaviour when they're young, same as retrievers and Labradors, and they just really do it excessively when they're young, and that will come back to bite them when they're older.
Right. Andrew, I wish you could see my face right now, because Ned the Rescue Dog is a cattle dog cross Kelpie whose favourite thing in the world is chasing that ball, and to keep him kind of well exercised, I've been going for very long walks with him after work every day, in which I do about 5 kilometres, but the whole time, a lot of the time, he's going back and forth getting the ball while we walk these country roads. I'm thinking I'm being a brilliant pet parent because he's 15 months old, he's being really well exercised. Should I be pulling back a bit because he's also a big beefy boy who hasn't got the rig of a Kelpie, even though he wishes he did?
No, I think if you're doing that when you're going for a walk and it's only for that sort of period of time through the day, that's perfect. You know, we want to keep them mentally healthy. You know, their mental health is really important. And that sounds like a really good exercise regime that you're doing. It's more for those, you know, really ball-obsessed dogs and some of the owners who just, you know, it's just hard when they just love doing it all day, every day. Mm. And also, you know, as I said, dogs running up and down fence lines all day as well. They're just turning and swiveling on their body a lot and overusing certain joints a lot more than they should do. But no, that exercise regime that you talk with your new addition to your family is spot on.
Thank God. I mean, it's a new exercise regime for me too, and I'm loving it. So I'm very, very grateful.
And one of the things, you're obviously happy to get out there in the colder months, but we do see a lot of dogs lack exercise during the winter months. The owners, you know, it's cold, particularly in Orange where we are. You know, it's dark in the mornings before work and it's dark after work, and it is cold. So we do see a lot of dogs that probably don't exercise and keep themselves as fit in the winter months, mainly because the owners don't do as much, but also some of these dogs, you know, they just don't like doing it. It's cold and wet and sleety and snowy.
Look, I've hammered at home to Ned that he needs to have a bikini body ready by summer in case we go to the beach. So obviously he's working quite hard on that. I've got another question for you, and that is, like, obviously we think about ways to keep our pets warm in these winter months, but there can be issues if you park your cats and dogs in front of a fire.
Yeah, so we do, particularly now. I mean, it's only a generation or two ago where it was quite unusual for dogs to stay inside through the day and through the night. So most dogs were outside dogs, but that's changed dramatically. Most of the dogs that attend our vet clinic would stay inside at night at a minimum, or probably in and out throughout the whole time. And you're right, because we heat our houses so well, we are seeing some skin and respiratory problems, because it really can dry out their upper respiratory tract and their coat. And I know my cat, for instance, he sits right next to our wood heater. He parks himself, 30 centimetres from our wood heater, and he'll sit there for hours on end. And if I stand that close to the heater, my legs are hot as anything after about 10 to 20 seconds, and I've got to move away. So we do see a dryness in the upper respiratory tract that can lead to some respiratory signs, and also a dryness of the coat. We see some dogs that just park themselves right near the wood heater, and their coat can get quite dry, their skin gets dry, and then we can see some skin issues from that.
So what's the best way to keep a dog warm? And please don't tell me it's having to dress them in human clothing, although I am happy to go out and buy that from time to time.
No, so most dogs, depending on the breed, but most dogs can handle cooler temperatures than we expect, or probably think they can. The main thing is making sure that if they're going to be outside dogs and they're not inside, is not confusing them and having them inside when it's really cold and leaving them outside at other times. So their winter coat can't prepare for that. You know, so if they're inside two nights and they're outside and they're in and they're out, they just can't settle and they're not used to it. But most dogs handle it. The big thing is wind and wet. So same as all species, if it's windy and they're wet, that is significantly... that's a bad combination. So if they do stay outside having a nice warm kennel that they can get out of the wind and out of the rain, and then if they are inside, just doing that on a regular basis. So if you are going to keep your dog inside at night time, just making sure that you do that all the time rather than chopping and changing the decision and saying, oh, no, he's out tonight, because then his body coat can't prepare for that.
See, there's me thinking it's all about emotional consistency, but there's literal coats that are growing based on this. Andrew Denman, vet at Orange Vet Hospital, you've enlightened me and also made me relieved that I'm doing the right thing with Ned, so that's always a comfort. Thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Thanks, Jess. Bye.
Take care. You're on ABC Western Plains and Central West.